ever wonder what would happen if we treated our Bible like our cell phone? Now bear with me for a minute. Think of this is eye-opening. I want you to use your minds for a little bit. What if we carried it around in our purses or pockets? I want you to think with me for a minute. What if we flipped through it several times a day? What if we turned back to go get it if we forgot it? What if we used it to receive messages? What if we treated it like we couldn't live without it? What if we asked ourselves, I wonder what we did without a cell phone? What if we gave it to our children so they could have one? What if we used it when we traveled? What if we used it in case of an emergency? This is something to make you go, I wonder where my Bible is. Unlike our cell phone, we don't have to worry about our Bible getting disconnected or losing the call. We don't have to worry about paying the bill because the bill's already been paid. And what's fantastic? What if you would never have to ignore the call? How many of you ignore phone calls when they come in on your cell phone? Whenever David calls, ignore. I'm just kidding. What if you didn't ignore it? What if you answered the call every time it came? Wouldn't it be great if we would treat our Bibles like we treat our cell phones? Take your Bibles, if you would. Turn to Psalm chapter 12. I studied a little bit about Scientology. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Anybody know what a thetan is? Thetan? You know what a thetan is? It's not the word Satan with a lisp. Do you know what thetan is? T-H-E-T-A-N. Thetan. That is what you are. Now, that's not what you are, but that is what you are. You have been to several different planets. You have had several different lives, living your lives to try to attain a perfection. You've lived your life to try to make yourself closer to being that spirit, immortal, perfect being that you truly are inside of you. And if you continue to try to go down that road, you'll eventually get there. That is what Scientologists believe you are. You are not a human. You are an alien form that is inside. If you knew this, I didn't know this, okay? But you are an alien form. You started out on Venus. You started out on Venus, and you came down to Earth off the coast of California. This is what their founder started out, okay? This is what he said in his book. You started out on the coast of California. You looked, your being looked for a married couple. When you found a married couple, you hijacked her and was born through her. I'm from Michigan, dude. I ain't nothing to do with California, okay? When you found out that you were born, your mind that you received or you had while you were on Venus was then erased. And you started out all over again. And this happens every time you die, you go back to Venus. They erase your mind again, they send you back down. And you're trying over and over again to get better and better at being a human, which you're not. A human. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 12, in verse 6 and 7, and you'll understand why I'm going here, the words of the Lord are pure words, not the words of L. Ron Hubbard. And listen, let me explain something to you. The reason I'm talking to you about this is very simple. Our religion, what we believe, was not started by a man. What we believe was started by Christ himself, who is God incarnate. And I'm telling you, over the vast majority of the different religions that I've studied, to go out and soul win to them, you've got to let them know that Christ was God. Because they don't know that. Or they don't believe that. Scientology said nothing, zero, not one thing about Jesus Christ. Not one. It is never mentioned in any of their things. Nothing. Never. Okay? They don't believe that God ever came down in the form of man. Except they believe that they were all gods. Thetans, it's a godlike form that we try to get back to. But your mind is erased every time. I'll go through some of the more. But understand this. The words of the Lord are pure words. Stick with the words of the Lord. As silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Brother Dave, why do you go to this part? I go to this part because understand this. You've got a Bible you can turn to for your information. Why in the world would you turn to a man? Now, I know that's crazy to think about, but understand this. I believe a lot of people, Baptist churches too, that will spend more time reading a book written by a man than you will spend by reading a book written by God. I will never turn a Bible student over to a commentary. Never. I don't care if I write it. I'm not going to turn you to a commentary by a man to read and learn about God. I'm going to turn you to this to learn and read about God. I'm not going to turn you to footnotes and say, please read this. Oh, a brilliant man wrote this footnote. We're all sinners, saved by grace. Every man, no matter what he's wrote, has been literally, literally as a sinner, has just a thought about what God might be. And who are we to think that we know more than God? Who are we? What is man? Whose breath is in his nostrils? Do you understand what I'm trying to get to today? What I'm trying to get to is this. This man, and let me tell you something. If you learn about the man that founded this, L. Ron Hubbard, he was a fantastic, brilliant man. Tremendous man. He'd been all over the world. He was a naval officer. He had one of these decorations, Brother Carl, that gave him the ability to sail any vessel at any time. He could captain any ship, no matter where it was, no matter what waters it was in. This man had the authority to captain any vessel. Didn't matter. It could have been an aircraft carrier all the way down to a dinghy. This man had the ability to, I don't know how many of those awards they give out, but he had it. He traveled to the east. He traveled to the west. He traveled to the deepest, darkest jungles. This man was everywhere. That's where he came up with this. In all of his life's travels, he mixed in everything together to give you Scientology. I believe some of the things that he's saying, like the ability to be able to heal through your spirit. Understand this. If you believe you can get healed, you can get healed. Your body is amazing. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. God did that for you. The ability to be healed. A lot of times people get so depressed at their sickness that they literally can't be healed. But there's also people out there that decide they're going to fight, they're going to get through, they're going to do these things. And the body is able and knows that through your mind is able to do those things. And it really is. But that's not what you base your faith on. Because as wonderful and as great as your body is, it is still just dust. When you learn about, if you desire to learn about God, do not seek out a commentary. I don't care who it's written by. Seek out God in your scriptures. I can't believe I didn't get one amen out of that. Seek out God in your scriptures. I'm going to be honest with you. I get a little tired of hearing about people. Well, Brother Dave, this is what this person said in this commentary. Really? What did God say in his commentary? Because you may not have that question if you read what God has to say. And by the way, a man in his commentary, and I'll get to this in a second, a man in his commentary will take a verse out of the scripture and he'll twist it and contort it to fit exactly what he wants to get across to you. God doesn't twist and contort the context of the scripture. He gives you context to read. I'm a full scripture guy. If you're going to read this verse, then you should learn what this verse is about. By the way, the verse that I just read you, let's look at it for a second. Let's look at this chapter. I may not get to Scientology today. I want you to look at this in Psalm. I want you to read all of Psalm 12 with me. And I want you to see what this is reading you about. It's touching on what I'm touching on right now. God, understand this. God magnifies his word above his very name. He magnifies his word because he wants you to magnify his word. He wants you to hold his word up. He wants you to be in his word. He wants you to be reading the love letter that he gave to you and has preserved for you and has kept for you. Psalm 12:1, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. Listen to me. I don't know if you know a whole lot, but that first verse says a lot. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. For the faithful fail from among the children of men. You can say amen to that right now in America. They speak vanity. Everyone with his neighbor. With flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. Oh man, that is today. Filthy through the churches today. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Who have said, with our tongue will we prevail. This man became popular because he was able to write well. And because nobody decided to search the scripture to find out if this is even close to true. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Who have said, with our tongue we will prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? Oh, amen to that today. Woo, we're full of that today. For the oppression of the poor. They fill their churches with them, folks. They fill their churches with people that will not search the scriptures. They look up to a man in a suit and say, he's got to be telling me the truth. That's just not true anymore. For the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. Now the next two verses happen. You see in the first verse, the godly have gone. The faithful men have ceased. These people are not existence anymore. You are getting an inundation of the dilution of the word of God. You are getting literally people that are ignoring the word of God, writing their own, doing whatever they want to do to make you think that they're smarter than you. Understand this. We are all sinners saved by grace. There's not one person in here that's got any more mind to understand the scriptures than anybody else. What's amazing is people will tell you, well, I'm a scholar of the Bible. You're a moron. There's nobody that's a scholar of the Bible. Any knowledge you get has been given to you by God. The knowledge to know that 2 + 2 = 4. It is, right? Has been given to you by God. To dare to say that you know more about the scriptures than anybody else is foolishness. Because when you do, you start to become the expert. And people start to look to you instead of looking to God. And when they do that, the godly man ceaseth. The faithful fail. They start to speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor. With flattering lips. You watch Joel Osteen for 10 seconds and all you hear is flattering lips. Well, Brother Dave, you should not talk about other people that way. I watch him diligently. He's a brilliant man and loving. He's got a bad mullet, bad teeth, and he's standing on the TV telling you bad lies. And I'm telling you right now, I'm a little sick and tired of men being held up above God. Well, I've heard this a million times. Boy, this is good preaching this morning. I've heard this a million times. Well, you can't argue with his numbers. How do you argue with a guy that runs 80,000 in a football stadium? I'll sit there and argue with him for 45 minutes. You give me the chance. You give me the chance, I'll tell him all about the fact that he's not called to be a preacher. Get out from behind the pulpit if you're not be called to be a preacher. And then, when you're not called to be a preacher, at least take a Bible with you to the pulpit. I mean a Bible. I'm not talking about NIV. I'm not talking about Mickey Mouse. Take a Bible with you. Amen. What I've got to say means nothing. What this has to say means everything. What God has to say means everything. I'm a little sick and tired of men taking the credit for God's work. Yeah. That was good. Scientology. And the first sentence should tell you everything. Listen to this first sentence. This will help you out. Scientology, and you won't be surprised when you hear it. Scientology is a set of religious beliefs written by American science fiction author L. Ron Hubbard. Next page. Amen. One of the major tenets, how is that word? What is that, Brother Mike? Tenets? T-E-N-E-T? Tenet? One of the major tenets not 12-its, not 11-its, 10-its, of Scientology is a belief that each human is inhabited by alien spirits. Some of you are why we believe that. Brother David. What L. Ron Hubbard dubbed the space opera is a basic belief of Scientology that a human being is actually an immortal spiritual being termed a Thetan that is presently trapped on planet Earth in a meat body. Some of us more meaty than others. The Thetan has had innumerable past lives and is accepted in Scientology that lives antedating that Thetan's arrival on Earth lived in extraterrestrial cultures. Descriptions of space opera incidents are seen as true events by Scientologists. But their mind has been wiped clean. How would they know what they are? Scientologists believe that an individual should discover for himself that Scientology works by personally applying its principles and observing or experiencing desirable results. Scientology claims that its practices provide methods by which a person can achieve greater spiritual awareness. You know what's sad? That is the Eastern type of thinking, the greater spiritual awareness, okay? Do you want greater... Listen to me. Do you know the Lord is your Savior? Okay. Inside of you lives what? If you want greater spiritual awareness, talk to the guy inside. A lot of times, and listen to me. The reason I say this to you is a lot of times we ignore the Holy Spirit because we're worried we're going to become charismatic. Do you know that the charismatics have not been around that long? Listen to me. We've had the Holy Spirit for a long time. We don't have the monopoly on it, but we're playing on the same board. Amen? And understand this. The Holy Spirit truly is powerful. The Holy Spirit truly is part of the Godhead. Wonder why we don't treat it as so. Okay? The Bible says the Lord will send you a comforter. But it's amazing that we don't seek out that comforter. It's amazing that we don't talk to the Holy Spirit every once in a while. I'm not talking about getting spooky and starting to do this kind of stuff. If you know it's there. A Christian knows it's there. He knows that inside of him dwells this spirit. If you want to get spiritually closer, could you get inside the Bible just a little bit and let God talk to you about that Holy Spirit? Let God talk to you about the empowerment that we really, really have. Not some spookiness that we come from Venus. Are you kidding me? That's way too close. Its practices provide methods by which a person can get spiritual awareness. Two primary methods of increasing spiritual awareness are referred to in Scientology as auditing and training. Within Scientology, progression from level to level is often called the bridge to total freedom. Scientologists progress from pre-clear to clear and ultimately operating Thetan. They're taught a series of incidents occurred before life on Earth. They also believe that humans have hidden abilities which can be unlocked. Can you unlock your abilities? No, because we're too busy. Oh, no, I'm just kidding. let's see. A Thetan, this is the term of Thetan, this is from their website, by the way. A Thetan is an immortal spiritual being, the human soul. Now understand this, we have a soul that's immortal. We really do, but my soul's not from Venus. Amen? The person's soul originated, understand this, it originated when God told you originated. It originated when God breathed the breath of life into whose nostrils? And he became a what? That's right, but he breathed them in Adam's nostrils. Breathed the breath of life in Adam's nostrils, Adam became a living soul. Ever since then, we've been born. All right? That one breath breathed into Adam was good enough for everybody else to get a piece of it all the way out through history, all the way through time, and even into the future that's coming. Your soul is born now. Now, in God's incredible foreknowledge, he knew who you were before he ever formed you. But he doesn't reside on Venus doing that. And you are not godlike. We're not. Right now, we're sinful beings. We're sinful. Our flesh desires to sin. That's what it desires to do. Okay? And we have to fight that spiritual battle every single day. Understand this. When you're soul winning with a Scientologist, you've got to find out right away, what do you believe about Christ? Because it's not in here anywhere. Jesus is never mentioned in any part of this. They tout this as the only religion that's been developed in the 20th century. The only one. Man, I don't want anything that's been developed in the 20th century as according to God. All I want is the old-time religion. Hubbard wants to find a Thetan as having no mass, no wavelength, no energy, no measurable qualities, and no time or location in space except by consideration or postulate. This spirit is not a thing. It is the creator of things. Now you're the creator. Oddly, in a lecture series later published as a book, The Phoenix Lectures, he pointed to a study that implied a Thetan manifests a small but measurable amount of mass. Listen to this. And this is something I believe really happened, and he's claiming this is his. And I think that this may be true. I'm not going to attest to it. I certainly wasn't there. But listen to this. I've heard this kind of thing before. From some experiments conducted about 15 or 20 years ago, a Thetan weighed about 1.5 ounces. Who made these experiments? Well, a doctor made these experiments. He weighed people before and after death. I've heard that. What happens at your death? You're gone. Thank the Lord. Amen. You are escorted to heaven. Or to hell, which, I'm sorry, Brother David. You're escorted. And at least two angels take you. And you're gone. Now listen, I don't know if your soul has a weight, but from the experiments that this doctor gave, your body loses 1.5 ounces of weight at death. Some a little bit more, some a little bit less. Hey, I'm not sure if that's true or not, but boy, wouldn't that be amazing if your soul just did have a little weight to it? Now they try to find all kinds of excuses for this, and I don't know if that's true, I don't. But it's amazing to me how people can take what's learned and see, they try to promote science, and they're doing it right now today in America. They try to promote science above what God can do. They do. They take that and they run with it, and they're doing that right now. Right now they're doing that in America. Science is going to be elevated to her true height and honor. Let me tell you something. If you do that, you're going to usurp God. God should be at the top of the honor. God should be at the top. According to Scientology, when a person dies, when a Thetan abandons its physical body, your meat sack, they go to a landing station on the planet Venus. It's written right here. Where the Thetan is reimplanted and told lies about his past and his next life. The Venusians take the Thetan, capsule it, and send it back to Earth to be dumped into the ocean off the coast of California. If you can get out of that, and this is a direct quote from Mr. Hubbard, if you can get out of that and through that and wander around through the cities and find some girl who looks like she is going to get married or have a baby or something like that, you're all set. And if you can find the, I'm reading this verbatim. And if you can find the maternity ward to a hospital or something, you're okay. And you'll just eventually just pick up a baby. This is the basic belief of reincarnation. And that's what they hold to. Listen, I can't do no more of this. There's seven pages there. I can't do no more. The words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Why would he go to such pains to preserve the word from this generation forever? Because he would appreciate us looking at it. He would appreciate mankind perusing the pages of this wonderful book that he gave to us, that we will not understand all of it. He gave this to us not because we will get through it and understand it, we'll be scholars of it. He gave us this so we would be acquainted with his son. He gave us this so we will be acquainted with his death. He gave us this so we'll be acquainted with his virgin birth. He gave us this so we'll be acquainted with the way to be reunited with him and have fellowship with God. Good Lord, have mercy. There's people out there today that are dying and going to hell and believing that they're going to go to Venus. And we laugh and we guffaw and we hold our nose up to those people when they are dying and going to hell every day. Understand this. You're saved. Glory to God. How in the world are you going to keep that inside of you? Why are the Baptist churches failing? By the way, they're closing half of the Catholic churches in Cleveland. Glory to God. Well, Brother Dave, you shouldn't feel that way. I do. I'm tired of people going to hell because of false teachings. I'm tired of people going to hell because we won't give them the truth. When in the world are our eyes going to become wet again? When in the world are we going to think about people and look at them through Christ's eyes? When are we going to start to study so we know that we have to tell them about our Savior? When are we going to know? When are we going to realize that there's people out there that we cannot hold our noses up to? And when we meet people, no matter what religion they're from, they've got to know our Savior. Because without knowing Christ, you are going to hell. And it will not change. The Bible says that hell hath enlarged herself. It enlarges herself because of ignorance. It enlarges herself because of disobedience. We are required. Soul winning is not for Thursdays and Saturdays. Soul winning is a lifestyle. You've got to be willing to give somebody a track. You've got to be willing to tell somebody about your wonderful Savior who died for you. What makes you so important that you can't let somebody else be died for? Why do we have to hold it in? Why? I have a gift that I can share that won't cost you a thing. Giving that gift on, passing that gift on, what does that cost us? It costs us nothing. A minute of your time. How much is a minute of your time worth in eternity? Folks, I love you today, but we are fighting a battle today. Our churches, believe it or not, are starting to fill with people that are scared. Introduce them to the Comforter. Introduce them to the one that can take them through these times. In the days when all the churches are closing their door because of money, let's have our door stay open because of God. Let's fill our churches with people that need to be saved. Let's fill our churches with people that are brand new converts. Let's fill our churches with people that need to come back. There's a lot of hurting people out there, folks, and we need to care. That's our job. Our job is to care for folks, not to make fun of them, not to laugh at them for what they believe, but to show them the truth. Because the truth shall make you free. Why would we want to let anybody go around in bondage? Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to learn about these different beliefs. Lord, I'm amazed at some of the stuff that the human mind can come up with. Lord, please help us. Help us to take more seriously the fact that we're saved people. Help us to take more seriously the fact that we have inside of us something that everybody needs to have to be able to go to heaven. Lord, I would to God that we would make you make that place bigger. I would to God that we could make heaven enlarge herself by inviting more and more people to come. Lord, help us to talk about you. Help us to never leave home without a tract and a New Testament Bible in our pocket so we can show somebody. Help us to always get rid of those tracts and hand them out to people and tell people about you. Lord, please help us to love you. Because I believe that if we're telling people about you, it shows our love for you. It shows our thought that you died for us, but not only for us, for everyone else. Lord, please help us. Help us to look to you in these days of uncertainty, knowing that you are the one thing that's certain. Lord, help us. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We may break for a few minutes and we'll come back.